tonight to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Book of Matthew, chapter 6. This message will go along with my brother Mark spoke in his devotional this morning. This is a verse of scripture that we've referred to hundreds of times since we've been here and preached on when we were going through our series on the Sermon on the Mount. I believe is the key to living the entire Christian life. Matthew chapter 6, we'd like to read verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. These, of course, are the words of Christ, part of the Sermon on the Mount, which covers Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And in this Sermon on the Mount, Christ deals with a way of life, a way of living. And that way of life, of course, is the Christ life. It is a life that is lived supremely, completely, wholeheartedly, and continually for the honor and glory of God. It is living the heavenly life upon earth. It is referred to in John 10 and verse 10 as the abundant life, which is simply enjoying the best that God has for us in this life. And I believe that such a life is possible for every child of God. I believe that every child of God can live such a life. And such a life is the most profitable life. It's the most beneficial life that you can live. And it certainly is the life that gives God the most glory. So what Christ is reminding us of here in this Sermon on the Mount is it's not about personal fulfillment. It's not about our peace of mind. It's not even about our happiness. It's not about our careers. It's not about personal achievement. It's not about the obtaining of things. It's not about human approval. It's simply about Christ. It's all about Him. And the sooner we can learn that lesson, the happier you and I will be. It's the reason that we were created, was for Him. The reason we are allowed to live on this earth is for Him. Very simple truth that hardly anybody realizes, and none of us realize like we should. In this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, verses 19 through 34, the Lord is teaching on the subject of being dedicated to this particular way of life. Dedication simply means to be set apart. To be set apart to something specific. We're all dedicated to something. To be set apart to something specific and definite. To be committed to a specific and definite purpose or a specific and definite goal. It is a way of life. And this life that, this is the life that Jesus is talking about. And without this dedication, without this dedication to this Christ-like, with Christ's life, without this commitment to this Christ's life, we're going to make decisions. We're going to do things based on circumstances, based on pressures. And we begin to live our lives at random and without direction. Going from one thing to another without any satisfaction. And that is the way most of God's people live. That's the way that most of them live. But Jesus, in this section, 19 through 34, teaches upon some absolute necessities if we're going to live this Christ life, if we're going to live this heavenly life, if we're going to live this abundant life. In verses 19 through 32, he teaches about the cares, the worries, and the demands of life, which can all become a distraction to the Christ life. And we mentioned these the last couple of weeks when we preached upon the parable of the soils. He also warns against wrong values. In verse 19, he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." The word "lay" there simply means to put, to place, or to set. And it speaks of a deliberate choice. You and I make a deliberate choice where we set our treasures. We either set them upon this earth or we set them in heaven. But wherever it is a deliberate and willful act by us. We lay it up. So he warns against that. Lay not up for yourselves treasures. A treasure is something that we esteem most excellent. It's something that we esteem most precious. And wherever it is we lay our treasure, manifest our value system. It manifests what we appraise and assess to be most valuable and most important to us. So he warns against putting on too high of an estimate upon the things of the world. He's warning against living for the here and now. This is what he's warning of here in verse 19. In verse 24, he warns against divided and misplaced loyalties. He says, "No man can serve two masters." He teaches that we cannot serve two opposing masters at the same time. He warns against the cares and concerns of this life that divide and distract the heart and the mind from the Lord. And he spoke of those things in verses 25 through 31. And he mentioned specifically meat, drink, and clothing. These are the cares that we read of in the parable of the soil that choke the word, that suffocate the influence of the word of God in our life. And these cares can prove to be very troublesome at times. And Jesus warns against them. In verse 32 of Matthew 6, he warns against pursuing the wrong things. He says the Gentiles, which means the heathen, or as Luke puts it in Luke chapter 12, the nations, talking about the world. The Gentiles, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. These things, of course, goes back to the meat, the drink, and the clothing that he previously spoke of. But the heathen, lost man, the world looks to these things, looks to the things of the world for happiness, looks to the things of the world for pleasure and for satisfaction and for security. And why do they do that? Because that's what they place value in. That's where they place the value. They honestly believe these are the things that can make me happy. But every child of God ought to know better. The heathen prefer these things over spiritual things. Why? Because they place a value in the wrong things. They've got their treasure upon the things of the earth rather than things in heaven. They are absorbed. The reason they seek these things is they are absorbed with these things look around today at God's people. It's no different. It's sad today, but many of God's people do not live any differently than the Gentiles or the heathen or the people of the world. They do the same things. They make the same decisions. They think the same way. They look at things the same way. They're absorbed with the things of the world. They have no felt loyalty for God. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they feel no real loyalty to God. There are people who sit here every Sunday morning and Sunday night, and you know you feel no loyalty to God whatsoever. None. There is no loyalty. There is no felt loyalty to God. And these individuals are very, very distracted. And they continue to pursue these things, which bring them deeper and deeper and deeper into a downward spiritual spiral. And that's where we are today with many. But in our text, verse 33, Christ reveals the cure. This will cure it all. This is perhaps one of the most simple verses in all the Word of God. Almost anybody that I counsel with, if they're trying to make a decision or whatever they're trying to do, I am in some way going to refer to this verse because it's the answer. It is always the answer. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, is there anything difficult to understand about that? Nothing at all. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But what if? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But what if such and such happens? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, it works. It'll work every single time. We wouldn't have some of the problems we have, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But this is the cure. A couple of years ago, a psychiatrist by the name of Edward Hallowell wrote a book called Crazy Busy, Overstretched, Overbooked, and About to Snap. That's the title of the book. That's a good title. I mean, I like to read it just from the title. But most of us can relate to that title. Most of us here tonight can relate to that title. Crazy busy, overstretched, overbooked, and about to snap. And that's where many of God's people are today. And why? Well, it's because of the society we live in. You go on believing that, but that's not the reason. It's because of a continual persistence in what Christ has warned against in verses 19 through 32 of Matthew chapter 6. That's the reason. That's the reason that we're crazy busy. That's the reason we're overstretched and overbooked and about to snap. That's the reason. Because we stubbornly persist in the very things that the Lord warns us against. So we want to look tonight at Matthew 6, verse 33, which is the cure for the cluttered life, the cure for the worldly life. And we want to consider three main points. Number one, a priority that should guide our lives. Number two, we see something that we ought to practice, that ought to govern our lives. Number three, there is a promise here that will sustain us in all times. But first of all, notice a priority that must guide our lives. And this is where it all starts. First thing we want to notice is there is a distinction made. In verse 32, he says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." Verse 33, but we're not to do that. There is a distinction being made. There is a contrast being made. And that word but looks back to what was said in verse 32, where Christ spoke of seeking the wrong things. So there is to be a very clear difference in the way we live and what we pursue than the way the world lives and what the world pursues. The Gentiles seek after all these things, but seek ye. And the word seek means to go after, to go in search of, to look for, to make an attempt, to try to obtain. That's what it means to seek. And the Gentiles, what they're doing, what the world is doing, they're going in search of that which is worldly. They are going after that which is worldly. That's what they're looking for. They're making an attempt to obtain it. But you and I are to go in search of the kingdom of God. We're to look for it. We are to try to obtain it. So he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now what we're seeking, we can say anything, but what we're seeking declares what is most important to us. Whatever it is. Whatever it is that we spend the most time seeking, that's what is most important to us. And the Gentiles seek after all these things. But in contrast, we are to seek the kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God here has reference to that which is spiritual. And it is in contrast to the material provisions. Notice verse 25. We're not going to read the verse, but you just notice twice you see the word life, twice you see the word body. It is in contrast to the things that pertain to this life and this body. It is the spiritual in contrast to the material provisions. It has reference to that which is beneficial to the soul, in contrast to that which is beneficial to life and body. It has reference to the will and rule of God, the peace of God, the joy of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the commandments of God. It has reference to all of these things, the precepts of God, the honor of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's very plain. There should not be any difficulty in understanding that. But he says more there than just seek ye the kingdom of God. He says seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, first speaks of an order. That which is first is not second. It's not third, it's first. So it speaks of an order. So he's telling us in what order we are to seek spiritual things first. When does that change? Never. Under what circumstances does that principle go out the window? Never. We're always to first seek that which is spiritual. And if God's people would only learn that one lesson, it would change our lives. It would change your family. It would change everything. So it speaks of a sense of order. It means that which precedes or goes before. So spiritual things are to always precede material things. Spiritual things are to always go before. But what if such and such happens? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That principle is always in force. Always. It never, ever changes. But the word first also means first in the sense of priority. That is, it is that which is foremost. It is that which is primary. It is that which is chief. It is the most eminent thing. It is the highest thing. It is that which is supreme. It is that which is dominant. It is that which is paramount. In other words, the spiritual is always to have priority. The spiritual is always to be foremost. It is always to be the primary thing. It is always to be the most eminent. It is always to be the highest, the supreme, and the most dominant thing in our lives. And that'll solve many of your problems. That will prevent many of your problems. So what of all of this means is simply that which is spiritual and eternal. That which is beneficial to the soul. That which will give the peace and joy of the Holy Spirit. That which will bring intimacy with God is to proceed and go before that which is earthly. That which is spiritual. That which is eternal. That which is beneficial to the soul ought to always be foremost. And if it is not foremost, then something else must be ahead of it, and you're wrong. You're wrong every single time. Every time you put the material ahead of the spiritual, you're wrong. Your priorities are wrong. Every single time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It must be that which is supreme. It must be that which dominates our life. It must be that which has the preeminence. Now, of course, there are other things in our life. My point is that none of them are as important. None of them. I don't care what it is. There is not anything as important as your spiritual life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, many problems, many situations in the lives of God's people would never arise had people sought first the kingdom of God. Some of you right now have problems you would not have. I promise you, you would not have them if you sought first the kingdom of God. Some of you have situations right now that you would not have had you sought first the kingdom of God. Does this verse mean that we'll never have a problem? No, it doesn't mean that. But it will prevent many problems. And it will prevent many situations that we find ourselves in. It'll prevent many traps that we find ourselves in if we simply apply this principle to every single area of our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Many of the problems that people have in their homes, in their marriages, in their careers, would have never happened had they sought first the kingdom of God. People would not find themselves in some of the circumstances that they find themselves if they would have just given heed. Seek ye first kingdom of God. For the young people would not find themselves attending a university away from their church home and unable to go to the house of God in worship if they would have sought first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. people would not find themselves in another state, away from their church home, unable to raise their children in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they would have only sought first the kingdom of God. Oh, we create a lot of situations. We create a lot of circumstances. We create a lot of problems because we just will not seek ye first the kingdom of God. People would cut out a lot of the competition, and I'm going to explain that, and conflict that exists in their lives if they would just seek first the kingdom of God. For the child of God who is seeking first the kingdom of God, career and the spiritual never conflict because your priorities are right. The only time you have a confliction is when you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, when your priorities get out of order. The only time you have a conflict with your family, am I going to go to the family reunion that's on Sunday, or am I going to be in the Lord's house, is when your priorities aren't right. There is no conflict if your priorities are right. There is no competition. People say, oh, I get so tired of the competition between my husband and the church and the spiritual things. There should not be any competition. There would not be any competition if your priorities were right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's simple. There's no competition. There's no conflict. As long as we do that, there's nothing to think about. I don't have to stop and think, am I going to go to the family reunion on Sunday or be in the house of God? You shouldn't have to think about that. Am I going to go to a wedding? Am I going to go to a graduation? Am I going to go to this or that before I go to the house of God? There should be no conflict if you're seeking first the kingdom of God. Should I join such and such an organization that's going to take me away from the house of God? There should be no conflict. And there won't be if you're seeking first the kingdom of God. But people make these foolish decisions because they're seeking first the material. And then they cry and whine and moan and groan because they're not getting anywhere spiritually. What do you expect? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And you know what these people do? They do these things. Because they do not seek ye first the kingdom of God. They create a situation. They create a circumstance. They create a problem. They desperately want to get out of it. So what do? They make another bad decision because they're still not seeking first the kingdom of God. And that just takes them even further away. Seen it happen over and over and over and over again. People are the same everywhere. Just the faces are different. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Giving heed to this simple principle solves the conflict between career and the Lord. Now I believe that there are just certain careers that God's people are not meant to do, because there are certain careers you cannot do and serve God faithfully. And anybody who's choosing a career, the very first thing you ought to consider is, can I do this and be in the house of God and serve God faithfully? And if you can't, it should be eliminated. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, you know, we need policemen and firemen. Yes, and I'm thankful for them. But you don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. You are here to serve God. You are here to serve the one who saved your soul. Let us not forget why we're here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Any commitment that causes, you know, you hear all the time, well, Brother Dan, you know I'd be there, but I have this commitment. First of all, no, I don't know you'd be there. Let's get that clear. I don't know that. Secondly, no commitment should be made that cost you in your relationship with the Lord. Every commitment that causes your relationship with God to suffer is a wrong commitment. It's a wrong commitment every single time. And the truth is, you wouldn't have made that commitment had you sought first the kingdom of God. But we make the same mistakes over and over and over again. I truly believe that if we would just learn this one principle, our lives would be instantly streamlined. They would be instantly simplified if we just sought first the kingdom of God. You see, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, it's not a competition. Little Johnny has a ball game this Sunday, so we're not going to be there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, I don't want him to miss out. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the cure. That's the answer. Now, this principle should direct the activity of our life. If the kingdom of God is the priority in our life, then everything we do, and I mean everything we do should relate to that priority. Everything. Everything relates back to that priority, which is the kingdom of God. For example, if you work a job, that job is important to you in so much that it helps in the kingdom of God. When you think about a job, you ought to be thinking, can I serve God in this job? Is this where God would want me? How can I serve him in this job? That ought to always be our question. How can I serve him? How can I serve him? What can I do for the Lord? Many times those questions never even pop into the heads of many people. Never even stop and think about it. God help them. God save their soul and they can't even think enough to do something for the Lord. So the kingdom of God has priority. When you set the kingdom of God as your priority, I believe that will direct the activity of your life. It'll direct the focus of your life. And this principle will also dictate the attitude of our life. The kingdom of God is a life in which God's will, God's word, is the supreme and sole authority for life. I'm afraid many times we don't understand what a kingdom is, because we've had the privilege and the blessing of living in the United States. And living in the United States, sometimes it's difficult for you and I to grasp the principles of a kingdom. You see, in the United States, we elect leaders. And though they don't, we elect leaders and expect them to enact our wishes. That's why we elect them. They say, I'm going to do this. And we elect them to enact our wishes. That's not a kingdom. That's not a kingdom. In a kingdom, or an absolute monarchy, the king is in charge. But you see, many have this idea, God is there just to enact my wishes. I'm sorry, that's not so. And you and I ought to be thankful that it's not so. But the king is completely in charge of what goes on in the kingdom. And the people that live in that kingdom are completely subject to his command, to his instructions. And guess what? They don't get a voice. Well, Lord, I want you to hear my opinion. You don't get a voice. Well, when do I vote? You don't have a vote in this kingdom. Well, I don't like that. I'm going to veto that. You don't have a voice, you don't have a vote, and you don't have veto power. You're in a kingdom. And this kingdom is to take priority. In other words, you and I are simply to obey the king. That's what we're here for. Christ is calling us here to make the kingdom of God our priority, which means that we simply live our lives in complete and total obedience to the king. It is to accept his absolute rule over our lives. If you seek first the kingdom of God, there is no hesitation. There is no negotiation. People try to negotiate with the Lord all the time. You're not in a position to negotiate. You don't have anything to give. In order to be in a position to negotiate, you have to have something to give. And you have nothing outside of God. Nothing. You're not in a position to negotiate with the Lord. This is a kingdom. And it is to have priority. Then notice there is a practice that should govern our lives. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you will also seek his righteousness. These two things cannot be separated. And his righteousness simply speaks of our way of living. It speaks of our practice, which is always opposed. The righteousness of God is always opposed to the ways of the world. You know, the best argument that God's people give many times is, well, Brother Dan, that's not the way the world does it. Well, you just made my point. You say we're not to do it the way the world does. We're to seek you first, the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about. And this righteousness is more than just taking stabs at righteousness, sporadically practicing right living. Many do that. It never works. They never really commit to holiness. They never really experience the blessings of God in full and the benefits. They just make an occasional stab at doing what's right. But you see, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God, you'll also live righteous. And then lastly, there's a promise. Notice what he says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And you know, I've had people tell me, God's people, Brother Dan, if I do that, I'll starve. You won't starve. If I do that, I won't be able to make my house payment. If I do that, I won't be able to make my car payment. You better read the rest of the verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the things the Gentiles seek, shall be added unto you. What the Lord is saying, you make me priority. You make me number one. You put me first in everything, and I'll take care of the rest. It's just time you and I believe it. That's what he says. So Christ says the kingdom of God is to be first. It is to be the primary pursuit of our lives. That does not mean that it is exclusive, that it's the only thing. We know better than that. It's not the only thing. But we're talking about an order of things. It is to always be the first thing. It is always to be the dominant thing. Well, Brother Dan, you don't understand. If I go against my family, I'm going to lose my testimony with them, and they're not going to like me, and I'm not going to be able to witness to them. See, your concept of evangelism is all twisted. It's not for you to save them. You be faithful, God will save them if he's going to. But we get this twisted idea that we've got some kind of power. and you don't. So, nothing is to usurp the kingdom of God. Nothing is to outrank it. Nothing is to replace it in our lives. And one of the reasons that our lives are so cluttered, and that is our main problem today. And I preach to myself as much as anybody else. Our lives are cluttered. Busy. So busy. You know, it's not like it was 20 years ago in churches. People are too busy now. Too busy to get too involved. There's too many things going on. And it's not sin. You can't just blame it on society. It's because we've chosen. We've gone down that road. And just examining my own heart, I'll be honest. Why do we go down that road? Because deep down inside, I'm speaking for myself. Deep down inside, I'm afraid I might miss something. You know, I might miss out. I'm not going to miss out on anything. Because the Lord said, all these things shall be added to you. If you seek first the kingdom of God. The all these things has reference to meat, drink, and clothing, or whatever other worldly sustenance is necessary for life. All these things shall be added unto you. If we get the order correct. You know, many people have the twisted idea. I'll go out here and I'll neglect God. I'll reject what God says and He'll supply my needs. That's not what the Bible says. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And these things shall be added unto you. In other words, we're not going to miss out on anything. We're not going to miss out on those things which you and I spend so much time chasing. If we could only look at our lives and see how much time we spend chasing that which doesn't matter. We all do it. We're all guilty. Pastors could be better pastors if they weren't chasing things that don't matter. Church members could be better church members if they just weren't chasing constantly things that just didn't matter. But we all do it. Now the word added, and I love this, literally means to lay beside. So Jesus is saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be laid beside you. That's wonderful. I don't have to chase after them. Jesus says, you put me first and I'll just lay them right beside you. And you can't get any easier. It doesn't get any easier. But instead we put God second, third, fourth. Sometimes He's not even in the top 10. Sometimes He's not even on the list. And we spend all our time chasing these things. We never obtain them. And if we would just seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said, I'll lay them all right beside you. They'll be there. Now, how many people believe that? Well, if we believe it, then we need to seek first kingdom of God. As we're seeking first the kingdom of God, as we're going along our way, God says, what I'll do is I'll simply lay beside you everything you need. I'll just lay it beside you. Doesn't that make more sense than running in circles, wearing yourself out, chasing the things that God says, I'll put them right beside you if you just seek me first. All we need to do is get the priority right. And I'm telling you, that will solve many of the situations that we have created. It will solve many of the problems which we have created in our own lives. It will solve many of the traps that we have created in our own lives. You see, as a child of God, people will say, oh, it's so hard today. Not if your priorities are right. It's really not. It's really pretty easy. If your priorities are right, I mean, how much easier can you get? I'll lay it beside you. That's pretty easy. If our priorities are right. Problem is, most of the time, our priorities aren't right. Our feelings are more important, our wants, our desires. My whole point is, you and I do not have to be stretched in 10 different directions. Just put God first, and He says, I'll lay it all beside you. And I believe we can trust that. And I believe if you try that, you will find it to be so. Oh, but it's so hard today. There's so many things that's calling us. You don't have to divide your loyalties. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We're not called upon to divide our loyalties. Jesus says, I don't want you to divide your loyalties. No man can serve two masters. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's not a battle of loyalties when our priorities are right. So in this promise, all these things shall be added unto you. There's a guarantee there. There's a guarantee. Jesus says, if you seek first the kingdom of God. And again, there shouldn't be any difficulty in understanding that. There are no circumstances that override that. There are no situations that override that. There are no problems that override that. There are no ifs, ands, and buts that override that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You do that first, and the Lord says, I'll take care of you. That doesn't mean that you don't go out and get a job. It doesn't mean that you don't pay any attention to anything else. It simply means what it says. He comes first. Everything else is secondary. He's first. And if you and I would learn to do that, I'm telling you, our homes would be better, our lives would be better, our churches would be better, everything about our life would be simpler, would be more simple. We bring so much clutter. We bring so many difficulties. We create so many situations. We create so many circumstances. People will complain about their circumstance. I don't like my circumstances. But the truth is, if you and I would look at most of our circumstances, guess who created them? I mean, I'm not saying all of them. There are exceptions. But we create a large part of our circumstances. And we make our circumstances worse. Because we refuse. It is in our nature to fight against it every step of the way, to seek ye first the kingdom of God. People come, they have problems, their lives are falling apart, and I'm telling you, the thank you.